Stephen Mayne is a shareholder activist. He's the founder of crikey.com.au, and he joins me now. And the topic that we have to discuss is Westpac and the merger, planned merger with St George. Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, Deborah. How are you?
Well, it's a, you can, I mean, take it away. I'm waiting to hear what you think of this.
Well, we're still waiting for the formal announcement, which is expected in the next half an hour or so. The tip is that Westpac is going to offer a 35% premium, so that St George shares were trading at around 26, and Westpac is thought to be likely to offer the equivalent of about 35 in their own shares. So that will value nominally St George at close to $20 billion, and that would obviously be the biggest takeover in Australian history. But I do think there is actually a fair risk that this won't go ahead because the government might actually block it, because this really is pushing the envelope in terms of the big banks and, you know, powerful banks and the four pillars policy. I mean, nominally St George can be taken over because it's only the fifth biggest bank, but Westpac will easily be the biggest bank. I mean, it'll have $206 billion of home loans alone. So if Wayne Swan is upset about the big banks ignoring him on home loan interest rates, there'll be no one more powerful than a combined Westpac St George, which could, at the flick of a switch, just increase the interest rates for millions of Australians who owe the bank $206 billion on their mortgages. And whether he wants to concentrate that sort of power, given the super profits that our banks have made and the fact that we have the world's most expensive banking system, I think there's a fair degree of risk that he'll block it.
Well, Wayne Swan, of course, has gingered up the banks a few times, and certainly he has a crucial role in this merger. As you say, he can stop it.
Well, that's right. I mean, Paul Keating was the last Labor Treasurer to step in and stop a big merger when ANZ tried to buy National Mutual back in 1991. Paul Keating just said it was bad for competition and not in the interest of the consumer or the public, and he blocked it. So I think that, you know, that Wayne Swan has got a very difficult decision here, because we do have an incredibly concentrated banking system. Profits have gone from $5 billion a year to $25 billion over the last 15 years or so. I think by any measure, you know, the Westpac share price gone from a low of $3 in 1992 to $26 now. By any measure, consumers are paying a huge price for banking in Australia. The owners of the bank licences have made a fortune. Your typical big bank CEO has made about $100 million on their shares. And all of this is with the luxury of a government licence. So I think a few people are saying, why have you licensed these institutions to provide the world's most expensive banking system and massively enrich the shareholders whilst the customers are getting an expensive and frustrating service? So I think all of those arguments were ignored by the Howard Costello government because they were sort of so pro-business. And I think the initial skirmish we had over interest rate rises over and above the Reserve Bank rises did upset Wayne Swan a fair bit. And this one's really pushing the envelope, and we'll see what happens in the coming months.
Well, of course, the markets yesterday went hip, hip, hooray. They couldn't trade in the shares that were suspended, but all of the other financial stocks went up. And Gail Kelly's emerged as... is she as Machiavellian as we might think?
Well, it's an incredible situation. South African expat, mother of triplets, did a great job running St George. She originally came out of the Commonwealth Bank, was poached by then St George Chairman Frank Conroy, who himself was a sacked former CEO of Westpac. She did turn St George into the genuine fifth player in our banking system, and did such a good job she got poached by Westpac to run the whole show. Now, never before in Australian takeovers has a new CEO attempted to buy their old company like this. And the other really intriguing aspect is the fact that she owns $40 million worth of St George Bank shares. So at one level, she's actually got a screaming conflict of interest in that she's encouraging her Westpac board and shareholders to offer a massive premium, a 35% premium, to buy her old bank, in which she still owns, well, according to the press today at least, she may have sold, but reportedly she still owns 1.16 million shares, which would be worth about $40 million based on this huge price that Westpac's about to pay. So all sorts of unprecedented situations here, and a lot of people making a lot of money and a lot of tough decisions for the regulators. And Graham Samuel, for that matter, whose own position is still up in the air because his term expires at the end of July, and we've had no indication from the government yet as to whether he's going to be the ACCC chairman who's actually going to decide on this deal over the longer term.
Do you think that there was a blueprint laid out even at the job interview for Gail Kelly to get Westpac this trophy of St George?
I don't think it was the principal reason for it, but I think it would have been in the back of the mind of the Westpac board, because St George was always the obvious takeover target for the big four banks. But because it always traded at such a huge premium, because the market loved Gail Kelly's performance so much, they priced the shares out of reach of the majors. I mean, they peaked at $38 a share last November. Now, then they crashed down to almost $21 as part of the global credit crisis, because St George Bank has to pay more for its offshore loans than the big banks. Its credit rating isn't as strong. It's only got its deposits only provide 43% of its funding for its loans, so it's had to go offshore cap in hand and pay a big premium to borrow money in this global credit crisis. So all of that, plus the loss of the CEO, plus a new chairman coming in 3 months ago, and even a new finance director over the last 12 months, they've had a big change of personnel at the top, challenges to their business model with the wholesale funding from offshore, and lost the CEO. And I think that the Westpac board would have been thinking, well, you know, if there's one thing we're going to get, then maybe taking over St George, because Gail will literally know if there are any bodies buried anywhere and how the whole business will work. And so Westpac's got a massive head start on its chief rival, NAB, which is the only bank considered a possible rival bidder, because Gail can handle the integration as someone who knows exactly what sort of house St George is.
Well, is there a case for it? I mean, you've alluded to the huge upheavals in the world banking sort of business. Australia, if it's going to, you know, attract the kind of capital that it needs to do all of these things that clearly need to be done, needs a vibrant banking sector that can access funds anywhere. Do we need bigger banks? Is it just the inevitable thing that could, what worries a consumer, you know, walking down the streets of Sydney is something that we should put aside?
Well, the banks all, you know, in my view, they run a very self-interested line, which is we should be able to merge to become national champions so we can go offshore and expand overseas. Now, all of our banks are worth more than, our big four banks are worth more than $40 billion. At the peak last November, they were worth collectively $275 billion. I don't know how big you have to be before you can afford to go offshore and buy things. I mean, our big four banks are already together in the top 100 banks in the world, and we've got the strongest banking system in the world, which is the same way of saying we've got a hugely profitable cartel, which charges consumers a massive price for banking in Australia. Now, a lot of people think that banking is actually meant to be a community service, which is meant to facilitate the rest of the economy and other companies operating and households saving their money and spending their money. In Australia, financial services has become 40% of the stock market, which and the global average is only 28%. So you can see, and none of these profits are coming from offshore, or not many of them. Most of it is just coming from, you know, dominating banking in Australia and New Zealand. And Westpac is unashamedly saying, we want to dominate in Australia and New Zealand. There's no talk about getting bigger and then buying up firms in Wall Street and becoming an Asian bank and becoming an international success story. It's all just about scale and size and market power in Australia and New Zealand to charge customers more for their money, lower your cost of delivering the services, and making more money for shareholders. And frankly, the shareholders of our big banks have had the best run of anyone. I mean, the Commonwealth Bank was floated at $5.40 and they peaked at $70 last year. I mean, by any measure, it's just been a bonanza. And I think you have to, at the end of the day, realise that bonanza has come from the consumer, and there isn't really an argument that can be sustained about the national champions becoming international success stories, because our banks don't have those aspirations. They just want to make more money here.
Stephen, thank you.